I think we maybe ought to pray. I've come to the conclusion that the more I read about Jesus, the more I don't know. And the more I read about the Word of God, the more something's happening in my soul that although I know I've been made righteous because of what Jesus did on the cross, I know that very often I don't look like him. And the scriptures have been really making me face myself and who I am and what my heart is all about. And I just hope this morning that that is what happens to your heart. So I've had some things that have been burning upon my heart about, I'll explain that in a minute. But it's like I don't come here lightly. Whatever I say, I've applied it to myself. And so I don't believe that anybody can say anything at the front unless they've gone to God first themselves and applied it to their own heart. It's hypocritical, it's really false, and it's religious, to put it bluntly. And it comes out like that. It comes out like religious words. And I am in a relationship with Jesus, so Jesus is speaking to me and challenging me all the time. So let's pray, and then we'll open the scriptures and see what God is saying. Yeah, Lord, I just pray today that you would come. I thank you that there is no condemnation, it says in Romans 8, in Christ Jesus. But I thank you, Jesus, because you love us so much, you come to discipline us. Because you love us, Holy Spirit, you come to convict us and you lead us to the throne room of God. You lead us in these places where we can get down on our knees and sing, "Oh, you are beautiful." And so, Lord, I just say today that I pray for all our hearts that you'd captivate our hearts once again to understand what it looks like to be a follower of the living God. And I pray that you would come in your precious name. Amen. As I've said before, it is helpful if you could just like make a little noise, or, you know, don't look like you've just totally gone to sleep, because I've only your faces to look at, so it's quite hard if I look out and you think, "Ooh," like, oh. But you might feel a little bit squirmy. I like to feel squirmy. I don't know if you do. I like to feel a little uncomfortable. In my uncomfortableness, I was just praying this. The Word of God demands a response. So I don't know how you read the Word of God, or even if you read the Word of God. So it was a very interesting thing this morning when I woke up. I just decided to look at this survey, and it was a survey of supposed Bible-believing Christians. And it said, this was the survey, 60% had never, and I say never, read the Bible. It said 36% never prayed. I'd say that is well dangerous. And for me, I would have to say that's not a believer. So anyway, you'll see as I unpack it. I'm going to start. So Dave and Pete, they're going to start Revelation and reading through that. And so how this began was, it's just that God just started to speak to me about John, who wrote Revelation. And so he wrote five books. He wrote John, he wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and then in his later life, when he was on the island of Patmos, he had this glorious vision. God spoke to him and he wrote Revelation. And the Bible says, which I'm going to go on in a minute, he talks about himself. He says he was the disciple who Jesus loved. And so I want to talk about the man John. But as I'm talking about the man John, I'm going to be talking about the Teresa, the Alan, the Lynn, the Jimmy, the followers. Because I felt that God said to me, I'm making, if you want to write something down, God was saying to me, I'm making an intimate inspection of your hearts, and I am looking for the true followers. So that is very, very important. I am making an intimate inspection of your hearts, and I am looking for the true followers. Because there's a lot of absolute tosh going out there of what a Christian should look like, and I'm telling you, it is absolute tosh. You know, you've got the prosperity gospel. It's just name it, claim it. You know, God's going to give you everything. Come to God. Or it's all this about say a quick prayer, ask Jesus into life, and you're saved. I just want to tell you, it's rubbish. Absolute rubbish. And I'll tell you why as I unfold this scripture. So let's look at Matthew 4, verse 18. It says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. He saw Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Listen very carefully. We need to listen very, very carefully to scripture. Immediately, they didn't dilly-dally, shala-shata. Immediately, they left their nets and they followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers. So here we see James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, so he shouted them. He's shouting, come over, and immediately, and follow me, he's shouting. Immediately, they left the boat. So they left their livelihood, their jobs. They left their father, and they followed him. Now, let me tell you, that is radical faith. That is what Jesus is requiring of us all, to follow him. This people say, when they preach, they say, the man Jesus, the man Jesus. Well, it actually rattles the living daylights out of me. Because I can assure you, if Dave was having a fish, and a man came up to Dave while he was fishing, because he loves fishing, and said to Dave, while he was casting his rod out, follow me. I can tell you what Dave would be saying. He'd be saying, jog on, I'm fishing. But it wasn't like that. When Jesus called them, he was fully the Son of God. He was the King. He was fully God. And you will only read in what John says when you read 1 John, and so the other books begin with like the Jesus being born, and this is what John begins with. In the beginning was the Word, that is Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This wasn't just a random man coming along saying to the disciples, follow me. This was Jesus, who is fully God. So please don't keep saying the man Jesus, the man Jesus, the man Jesus. Nobody would have just followed a man. This was a man, but fully God. He came from the heavens, and he was glorious. And let me tell you, when you know that you have gazed upon the eyes of Jesus, when you've been captivated by Jesus, like many of you are here, you will have had one instant when something happened to you, or it might have been over a period of time. For me, I just came into a form of religion, and then I had a Damascus Road experience. I met the man, Jesus Christ. I didn't just meet him through the Word. I met him like in a physical form. I met his physicalness over my life, and everything in my life changed. And we have got to have an encounter with the living God to know this is the Jesus who came down from the heavens out of the glory and the beauty and the majesty of heaven, and he came for us. He came because we were wretched, we were sinners, we were lost in our sin, we were ugly, we were absolutely downcast. And yet this loving God who loved us so much, he came for us. And if you make it about you, which I think this is something happening in the world of Christianity, that people are making the gospel about them. If you don't make it first and foremost about Jesus Christ, you will always be about yourself. Because the word says it's very clear that we are to abide in Christ. We are come through this gate that is this narrow gate, which I'm going to speak about in a minute, which is Christ Jesus, and everything changes. And so it's very important how we come. And Jesus didn't say, there's nowhere in Scripture, if you can find it, come and tell me. Pray a prayer and ask Jesus into your life, and then you will be saved. You don't tell me it says that in Scripture. It absolutely does not. It says repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We need to know that we were wretched sinners and we need a Saviour, Jesus Christ, who has come to save us. And if it doesn't start and end with God, and it starts and ends with you, you will be off the Richter scale. No matter whatever comes along your way, you'll be taken out. It has to start with Jesus. It has to end with Jesus somewhere. And so this is radical faith. I need to tell you that, because there's so many people going around and they're making the faith, they're making the Sunday mornings, didn't quite like the worship. Have a good morning on the way out. They didn't quite like the sermon. They didn't quite like this. They don't quite like that. They're always mourning about everything. Well, it's not you. We're worshipping God. And when we understand that we're worshipping the God of heaven, we'll stop making something about ourselves. And so when we look at the gospel, and when we say, when we're listening and reading about how to follow Jesus, it wasn't easy. And so there's a message being preached that you come to Jesus, your finances will be good, you'll have a big house, you'll have everything's going. Well, I'm telling you, I'm not being funny, look around. Well, it's not happening here, I'll tell you. Not happening to many people anyway. God, and I want to say sometimes God does bless. He does bless with finances, so don't hear what I'm not saying. And God wants to take care of us. But the truth is that isn't the be end and end all. That if you look at Scripture, if we start having a love for the world and worldly things, you see, this gospel is about something spiritual. It's not about something earthly. And God didn't promise us earthly things. He promised us these spiritual things. And yes, he will take care of us. He says, you know, does he not love us more than the birds of the air and the lilies of the field? He loves us and he wants to clothe us well. But he's interested in our spiritual state, where we are, where our heart is, how we're loving him. And this, he just says this, and this is what I feel. It's in Matthew 7. He says this. He says, enter by the narrow gate. The narrow gate is Jesus, for the gate is wide and the way... For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. And I just want to say this to you in a simple layman's term, because that's all you know how... the way I know how to speak, is that there's a narrow way, and this is what happens. People enter by the narrow way, they hear the gospel, they hear about Jesus, they enter, and then they get on a wide road. What's all that about? Then they think they can do what they want. It's man's opinion over God's word. Well, it isn't. It's God's opinion over man. It's not the other way around. We can't do what we want. We are being bought with a great price and a great cost. And now we belong to the King of Heaven. And if you're not Jesus's, who are you? I just want to ask you that. Who do you belong to? If you don't belong, this is serious. I can't tell you how serious stuff this is. There's an urgency on it, and that's why I'm telling you in an urgent way. Because in churches, there's many people who think they are saved, and they are not. And it's not up to me to know, but there's something that God is saying to me in my guts, that there's people here that you are not followers. You are just coming in and going through the motions, but there's no heart-to-heart connection. It's religion. It is religion, not relationship. And it has got to be relationship. It's got to be built on that. And so here we are. It says, and so we've got this thing now at the moment. We've got Harry and Meg. This is latest in the news. I mean, everybody's talking about. And what do they want to do? They want the foot in both camps. So they want to be royalty, but they don't want to be royalty. I mean, how do you do that? Oh, I mean, for goodness sake, that poor Queenie, she must be going crazy. Absolutely crazy. It's disgusting. You can't live in two camps. And the same goes for a Christian walk. You can't live in two camps. You can't be in the world and you can't be in Jesus Christ walking this narrow road. Now, we need to say to this, sometimes, and this happens to us all, and I don't stand here as if I've got it all sewn up. Sometimes we enter by the narrow gate, and sometimes because of situations in life, we end up getting on a wide path. But I'm going to tell you something. If you belong to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will get you quickly back on that narrow path, because the sheep hear his voice and they follow him. And let me tell you, if you're blatantly coming to church and you think that you're Christian and you walk in the wide path and you can't hear a voice, I'd ask you today, are you really saved? And Jesus isn't condemning you, he's convicting you, because all the way through the Bible, what happened from the beginning to the end is that man set off to love God, and then what did he do? He got into the world, he followed idols, he got onto worldly ways, and that's what happens to us. We get into things that we shouldn't be getting into. We start looking, and our affection and our love is on other things, but it's not on Jesus. Because if it was on Jesus, we wouldn't stop talking about Jesus. We'd want to run to these prayer meetings. We want to run wherever Jesus is. We'd want to be talking Jesus to everybody. And so there's something that needs to happen in our souls. Our hearts sometimes get a bit hardened. And today, if you've got on a bit of a wide road, Jesus isn't condemning you. He's just loving you with such love. And he's saying, get back on the narrow road, because that leads to life. But the wide road is going to lead to death and destruction. And what it's going to lead to, radically, I'm telling you, and this is what's doing in me, it's going to lead to hell. So if you continue on that wide road, it will lead to hell. And that does something in my soul. It maybe doesn't do anything to you, but it does something in my soul. I don't want one of you, not one of you, going to hell. I want you all going to heaven. I want to see every single one of you there. And I sincerely mean that. I don't say that tritely or lightly. I want to see every one of you there. And I want to see the church full of people going to heaven. But we can't mess about. This isn't a gospel message to be messed about with. And if you don't read the Bible, who are you? If you don't pray, who are you? I'm going to tell you seriously who you are. You are the religious. I know that because I was that person. I was going through the motions. It was religion to me, and it was not relationship. There was no heart-to-heart connection for me. And I'll tell you, if you don't love one another, if you don't have love for one another and love for the lost, and there's no heart-to-heart connection going on, you haven't got a relationship with Jesus. You just haven't, because you'd have his heart. And so there's some serious things here. I'm telling you with all serious urgency. And then it says, this building your house on the rock. Our house is us, or it's the church. This is what it is meaning. It says, everyone that hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat the house, but it didn't fall. And so it's saying, loads of you are going through, I know, through the most horrendous situations. And some of you can't even speak them out because they're so horrendous. Yet when the winds come blowing, when your feet are firmly planted on the rock, that is the foundation of Jesus Christ, you will not be shaken. But you build it on something else. You build it on yourself and your self-importance and your self-indulgences. Let me tell you, when the wind blows, let me tell you, that house will fall and you'll be nowhere. And so when I tell you that I've been holding this is serious, serious business. And shall we just close our eyes for a minute? Because sometimes we can't speak without praying. And so, God, I just pray for us all here. Lord, I just pray, Jesus, that if we've got on the wide road, that you, as we just say we're sorry, Lord, to you today, I pray that you put us back on this narrow road, because that is what you do, Holy Spirit. You come to convict us of the truth, and the truth always, always sets us free. And so there's always a way back. That's why it's not condemnation. It's grace and it's love and it's hope and it's truth. And Jesus would bestow that on us today. He just says, get back on it. Get back on the narrow road. Get back with me. Because the wide road is just going to lead you to be in a mess. But that narrow road is going to lead to life and pleasure and joy. And most of all, I need to tell you, it's going to lead you to be peaceful. Because we need God's peace in this messy life. And so God would just call you back. Come back. Come back to me. Come back to my love. Come back again and get captivated by me. Come again and love me. Right, you know that I'm not a preacher because I've only got 2 points. So we're just going to turn to, one would say that I exhort. Some people would say I rant. But yes, hopefully I'm exhorting you. I just want to say something else of John. Can we have John 13 up? So that was John the follower. And this is John. He says of himself, he was the disciple who Jesus loved. John didn't say this statement out of any arrogance. I want to say that. He said it out of brokenness for who he knew Jesus to be. The Jesus who was fully God. The Jesus who died. He knows who Jesus is. Jesus who gave his all. But it says, before Jesus died, it says this. Is that the ASV? Because I'll read it out of the ESV. And if there's a New King James... Yeah, if there's a New King James, it does not. Or a King James? Has anybody got a King James? Anybody got a King James? Yeah, Sonia'll get it up, and she'll tell me what it says when it comes to it. It says, one of the disciples whom Jesus loves. So this is how he speaks of himself. So John was writing the book, and he speaks about himself like this. He says it 5 times in the book. The disciple who Jesus loved, because, like I'm saying, he was so captivated and in love with Jesus. And you'll see why in a minute that I'm going to say it. And he was reclining at the table close to Jesus. And so Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking when he was saying at the beginning, truly somebody who's going to betray me. So Peter says to John, ask Jesus who he's talking about. In my English, ask him, go on, John, ask him who he's on about. So the disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus said, it is he to whom I will give the morsel of bread when I have dipped it. So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas. Obviously, we know the story. But there was just this something about the act of John leaning into Jesus that just absolutely got hold of me. Because I don't believe that John could have wrote the book of Revelation about this glorious throne room of God and this vision that he sees, that when we start delving into it, it's going to be the most glorious book. I don't believe John would maybe have seen the depth of all those things if he hadn't known how to lean in on the chest of Jesus. Because he was right where the very heartbeat of Jesus was. He wasn't really bothered about anybody else's, what anybody thought. And I just really want to tell you this. It's not, so don't get this confused. It's not about personalities. So some people would say, oh, well, Anne, she's a bit like crazy extrovert, so she don't mind getting down on the floor, or she, or you might say worse than that about me, but it is about just a love somewhere for the Lord Jesus that like led him to like press in deeper and deeper. And God is calling that, not because it's a personality, that's something of who you are, that's something of what you do, it's just your personality that's who you are. He's calling us all to be in that place. So he's calling us all into being, into this emotional, deep emotional connection with the beautiful God of heaven. You'll know where you are if you sing the songs that when we come together on a Sunday and nothing moves you. So if the songs never move you, if the preacher never challenges you or inspires you or you feel anything and you just go out, you'll know that something's wrong with your heart. And so our heart can get so damaged emotionally because we like to be in control. We sometimes get a bit prideful of where we are. So when we read the scripture, we're not letting it read who God is, and we're not letting it read who we are and where we are. So we can get very prideful. We always think it's about somebody else, but not about us. And so like John walked with Jesus, and he was shaped by Jesus, he was mentored by Jesus, his life transformed by Jesus Christ. And it is a challenge for us today of how we are leaning in emotionally. I think there's some very strange things that have happened and maybe wrong understandings. We have always preached that you should never run on your feelings, and I massively believe that. So I just turned my iPad on the other day, and it said, it was a Bible app, and it said, press this, whatever you're feeling. It was, honestly, it was pathetic. I might write something in about it because I was so cross. And it said, press this. So you got up each morning, you could press this emoji. I mean, what are them emojis about? So you press this emoji, whether you had sad face, happy face, grumpy face, worried face, whatever. So you obviously, if you know emojis, you'll know what I'm on about. But I don't even use them on my phone, so I don't. So you press this button, and then up popped a scripture for you. Well, I thought, for goodness sake, that is this self-indulgent carrying on of Christians that are making it about themselves. We don't read the Bible like that. We read about the Bible to find out about who God is. We do not read the Bible to find out, oh, what does it say about me? How can I be happy? That comes after that, because the Holy Spirit will just tell you things. So if you read the Bible in that way, oh, I just pick it up, I'm not feeling very happy, so I don't really want to go to that scripture because that's too challenging. I'm not really in a bit of a depressed mood, and if I go to that, it's going to make me even more depressed. No, it's not about that at all. It's about finding out who God is, and it's vitally important to us. And so somewhere, this leaning in and pressing into the truth, pressing into God's word, is what we need to, where we need to about be about. So it's not about our feelings, but I have to say to this to you. So it's not about how we run on our feelings, but we are meant to be, we are created to have emotions and feelings. And so we were created like that. And so emotions, we've got some people who think, well, if you're emotional, you're unstable. And so, especially in church, if they see people having a cry in church, oh, they're a bit over-emotional, a bit unstable, that church. You can imagine when people come in, that church, they're all jumping and leaping, or I find it a little over the top, a bit over-emotional. No, I want to tell you this, is that our God is perfect. And he is perfectly emotional as well. And his focus of his emotions are us. So he absolutely is emotional about us. So he loves us. He loves the world. But he's a God who gets mad. He's a God of anger. He's a God of wrath. He's a God of judgment. He's many things. But he's a God who is emotional. He finds pleasure. He finds delight. You hear about Jesus yearning and longing for us. There's emotion. And if there's no emotion going on with you, you need to really seriously come before God and say, what is in the way? What has blocked my heart that it's got it so messed up that I cannot connect emotionally? And we do. We brick our hearts up with all these things. We brick them up with disappointments. God maybe hasn't answered the prayers that we wanted him to answer it. The way round we want him to answer it, so we get disappointed. So we brick something up in our heart against God or just against life. And sometimes our wills and our hearts do get just messed up, and we just cause these walls to go up all the time. But I'll tell you, if I've learned anything over the life of the church, and I've learned it about my own life, this bricked wall heart of control and independency is a massive, massive thing. So if you get all bricked up, you're in control, not letting my emotions out, not letting all this come down, and you want to stay independent of God, you will never feel that closeness. You will never be like John, able to lean in. You will never understand when we get to Revelation about this throne room of God, because it's about heart connection. It's about us connecting emotionally with something. And it's vitally important that we need to know this. So if you know that your heart is a little messed up and you've bricked it up, you're a bit in control, you like to keep yourself, usually you can tell, I like to keep myself to myself, me. I don't really like to come to many church things. I don't really like to give my heart away to anybody. You like to protect yourself. It's not how we're meant to be. When the disciples were walking with Jesus, they shared their lives with each other. They wept with each other. They were joyful with each other. So this thing that Sue's doing on bereavement is going to be very beneficial for us, because sometimes the truth is we haven't wept with those who have grieved. Maybe because of our immaturity or lack of understanding that people need comfort. I don't know what it is. I mean, I can remember when Jerry died, Leslie's Jerry, many, many years ago. And I know that we probably didn't handle that situation very well, Leslie. And I truly want to say to you, I'm sorry. And we're sorry, because maybe you needed some support that we never gave. And because we didn't know. And you know, when you've experienced something of bereavement, you know the pains that it causes. And that's why the Bible says that we're meant to comfort other people. But coming to Sue's talk will help us, even if we haven't understood bereavement. We've got things, me and Dave have got things so wrong in this church. And we've got some things right in this church. But one thing that I can tell you, we love you. And one thing that I can tell you is that we love Jesus with all our heart and soul. And all I'd say is bear with us, because we're going to get some things right and we're going to get some things wrong. But if we love one another, we're going to stick with one another. We're going to help each other. We're going to speak about these emotional issues that are going on with us, that we get locked up in. And then our behaviour is disgraceful. Because when we get locked up emotionally, we're usually a very angry, growly person. Or we're usually a very moody person. And we're usually people who don't want to speak to people. And so they've got to come down, these things, these walls that we've bricked up, and we've got to make every effort. And James says about, it says lots of things in Scripture, but it says about guarding your heart, protecting your heart. And James says about establishing your heart. I mean, what a glorious word is that? But really saying, look after your heart. really look after your heart, establish it well in the truth of the word of God. That's how we look after our hearts. We don't just look after them by doing it ourselves. We look after our hearts by diligently going to the word of God, seeking out what it says and applying it to our lives. That's how we protect our hearts. And so I just really, that's all I want to say. I just want us to encourage us as people and ask you this question. Where are your affections? Are your affections on the Saviour who gave everything for you? And without him, you are completely nothing. Is your affection set there, or is it your affection set on other things? Because if it's in the world, it's enmity with God, James says. You can't love the world and love God. You've got to choose. So it's not a messing about word. We've got to make a choice. Because we would have a church full to the rafters if we'd never preached the word of God. We'd absolutely, they'd be heaving, they'd be hanging off the balconies. But the people usually that have left, not all of the people for that reason, but some people that have left is because when truth comes to challenge you, when truth comes to shape you, they're out the door. When you start to touch on emotions and things that are buried in people's life, they're out the door. And that isn't how we're meant to live. We're meant to share our lives, love each other. And so, thank you for doing, before you've even done it, thank you for doing Tuesday. We're going to say as a church, we're going to make every effort to be there. Because Sue, when I was going through a really horrendous time, and I had this such a messed up inside, and I didn't know what it was, and I went to Sue's house. We'd gone to see Sue for something else. She's wise, is Sue. You want to get around her, she's wise. And because me and Dave haven't got all the answers, I can assure you. So I went and I sat at Sue's, and I can remember she said to me, "Is there a question that you've got that's running in your head?" And I can remember just bursting out crying. And like I say, my dad had just died, and I said, "Did I kill him?" And so she said, and I know it was stupid, but we asked the nurses to turn the machine off because he had no breath in him apart from the machine that was working for him. But I thought, me asking her, should we turn the machines off, that I'd killed him. And it was just an enemy thing, and I knew it was stupid, but she just asked me this question. Is there a question that you've got? Is there something in you that you need to say that you've got in here? And I did. She knew exactly where I was. So I just want to say, you're a precious woman, Sue, and we love you. So that's all I'm going to say. So can I just do this thing? If you mean business with God today, and please don't do it if you don't, but if you really want to be a true follower of God, and you want to make every effort to be a person that leans in like John emotionally, I want you to stand up. If you don't, that's okay. Just stay seated. And I'm telling you, there isn't any judgment, but stay sat down if you don't. Because actually, when God said, "I'm coming to make this intimate inspection of your heart," if you stand when you really think to yourself, "I want to be sat," God knows it anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Because God is the one who knows our hearts. We say to you today, God, to you, Lord Jesus, do we look. To you, Lord Jesus, do we set our gaze and our attention and our focus. And we say, Lord Jesus, we want to emotionally be connected with you, the God of heaven. So over these next days, over these next week, will you come, Holy Spirit, and tell us and speak to us those things that are hindering this emotional connection with you? Because we need to feel you, the God of heaven. We're meant to feel you. And we're meant to feel your love and your kindness and your grace and your mercy. We're meant to feel your discipline over us. You discipline us because you love us. And we just want to say together as a church, we mean business. We radically mean business with you. Where you tell us to go, we will follow. When you tell us, do you love mother or father or brother or sister more than me? The Bible actually says, you are not worthy of me. I mean, how big is that? It's not saying we shouldn't love our mothers or fathers. It's not saying we should not love our brothers and sisters. It's saying that we should love God more. And so God, I just pray, help us to love you in a way that you love us. And we'll never understand that love, but help us to love you with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. In your precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.